Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. The scene was prolonged, explicit and gratuitous, leaving nothing to the imagination and designed solely for the purpose of shocking and titillating the audience. It sounds like a typical broadcasting standards complaint, but it's not. It's a BSA decision about a scene in the late-night TV show Hung this year. That decision is one of a number, leaving observers wondering if the BSA has taken a turn for the morally conservative. So has it? Well, we're joined by AUT's Diane Musgrave, who was a BSA member from 2003 to last year, to tell us how it works. Welcome, Diane.
Oh, thank you.
Now, explain to us how the Broadcasting Standards Authority works. It's a complaints-based system, isn't it? What's that mean?
Well, often it's misconstrued as being censorship, but it's actually has to have gone to air first. So you can't complain until after it's been to air. And if you object to something that's in there, you complain to the broadcaster. If you're dissatisfied with their response, then you take it to the BSA. And the BSA has various powers that if it upholds the complaint, it can fine the broadcaster, it can take them off air, which we did once when I was on the BSA. But it can also say there is no validity to the complaint, so it just says no uphold.
Do we have any idea how many? I mean, I work at TVNZ during the day, and I've worked on radio for a while. I've seen a fair few share of complaints, and a few go to the BSA. How many people complain, do you know, that then go to the BSA that then get upheld? Do we know what these proportions are like?
Not exactly, because quite often the broadcaster won't tell the BSA how many complaints it's dealt with. So we would guesstimate on the BSA that it would be around about approximately a fifth of the complaints would come to us. Approximately, but that's a real guess because the broadcasters don't really tell.
So I'd say it's much less, actually, in my experience. I mean, it depends on what you class as a complaint. I mean, maybe someone calling up and saying we don't like Paul Henry, I may count that as a complaint, but it's very unlikely for someone to take that further. Versus
now we're talking about formal complaints. Formal complaints have to be put in writing, outlined exactly what they object to, etc.
Sure. And what they object to isn't necessarily filth, is it? There are standards about fairness and balance and things like that.
Well, there's 11 for the free-to-air television. It's good taste and decency, law and order, fairness, accuracy, discrimination, violence, children's interests, etc. So there are 11 for television. And for radio, I think there's about 8 or 9.
Oh, good.
But the impression has been that particularly on radio, people have been able to get away with saying quite a bit. The reputation of the BSA, I think, amongst more conservative members of society is that you've been unduly liberal. Did you feel that sort of criticism when you were there?
I think that from the public's point of view, the BSA was too liberal, and I think from the broadcaster's point of view, we were too strict. So, I mean, you're not going to be able to please all the people all the time.
It was interesting, though. I mean, there was a definite contrast a few years ago between what we saw in America over, you know, the Nipplegate incident, for example. America seemed to go very, very conservative for a while there. At the same time, things were getting we were having the C word broadcast on TV, you know, with regularity. Things were liberalising in New Zealand. Is that not the case anymore?
I actually think that New Zealanders are incredibly liberal, that they actually tolerate a hell of a lot. And, you know, we go out there and when I was on the BSA, we did a lot of discussion with community groups, talking to them about what they liked, what they didn't like, etc., to try and just get a feel for the public and also the research that the BSA does. Is quite extensive. I mean, you've all heard the dirty words list that the BSA...
I've got it here if you'd like to read it out.
But I'm not going to go there. But that is to actually scope where society is at in its attitude to the use of words.
Because the core concept there is community standards, isn't it? So you're trying to match your decisions to what the bulk of people out there are feeling.
Yeah. And when I was on the BSA, I was actually there as the community rep. It was actually because of, you know, various activities I was doing within the community, also my AUT connection. So I was there to actually, how can you possibly do this? But I was there appointed by the Governor General on the recommendation of community groups. So, and there was also a broadcaster's rep on there.
What do you think it is that Kiwis generally find offensive? Now, I'm not talking about dirty words necessarily or sex, but what is it that really gets us when we see or hear it? I mean, fairness and balance and those sorts of things, invasion of privacy?
I think it's actually fairness. Kiwis seem to have a real, you know, this is off the top of my head here, but I think that Kiwis really have a strong sense of what's fair, and they don't like people being treated unfairly, even if, you know, there's a journalist trying to get to the heart of a story, and if they're being a bit rude to get to that story, then Kiwis will complain, you were unfair on that person because you treated them a bit roughly.
It's interesting you should say that. I see the number of complaints that come in when, in a political interview, the host might interrupt the politician. Now, I think, well, the politician's been going on for 10 minutes, perhaps they needed to be interrupted, but people don't like it.
No.
I say, you stop right. Interrupting, you're being rude.
Yeah, exactly. So it is fairness. But I think also that innate sense of giving people a fair go is something that I think kept bubbling to the surface in the complaints that we were dealing with at the time.
How much of a bearing do you think the composition of the authority has on its decisions? Do different people on the authority give different, have a different view? Because it does seem that with the new people on there, it's taken a turn for the Conservative.
Yeah. Well, that might be the perception out there. I think that all of us, when you go on to the BSA, you come in with your own background, your own knowledge, etc. I came in, I had worked in news and current affairs and in documentary and in television. So I brought that knowledge with me, and also the community activities. And I think that we had quite an unusual BSA when I was there, because there were three journalists. The chair by legislation has to be a lawyer. But there were three journos there, and I think that we probably...
And we have very low standards.
I'm not sure that it's low standards, but I think that we understood a lot about the process that the journalists were going through to get stories, etc. I think that each BSA probably is composed differently, and therefore they're bringing different skills and insights into the role. So, yeah, I think you have to bring your own judgment calls, especially in some of them, like good taste and decency. There's a standard and there's a guideline, but, you know, what I perceive as in good taste and decent might not be what you think is in good taste and decent, Russell or Damien.
Because the BSA, as you say, it's not proactive, it doesn't go out and look at stuff before it goes to air, does that mean that we're safeguarded in a sense from this sort of censorship that you see overseas, in some places overseas?
Yes, I think it is, actually. Yeah. I think that the broadcasters themselves do their own censoring, that they have, you know, it's like broadcasting brings with it a right, a freedom of expression, but also within that right is also a responsibility. And I think that the broadcasters all take that responsibility of what they're broadcasting seriously. So they have their own censorship systems, as I'm sure you guys do here yourselves, and how far you will go in what you broadcast.
Do you ever get the sense that some broadcasters treat BSA complaints, upheld or not, as a badge of honour? I know some of the journos do.
Hey, I when I was working in current affairs, I had a decision against me by the BSA, which I thought was grossly unfair at the time, and I still do, actually. I think that they were totally wrong in their decision, and I'm sure that some of the decisions that I was involved in, the journos point their finger and say, hey, that's so unfair.
Well, last time I got a complaint, I got told that it wasn't going to be dealt with for quite some time because it was sitting under 600 with Paul Henry's name on it. So don't have to worry
You're
about
safe.
That. Don't have to worry about that for a couple of years, I reckon. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
Cheers.
Diane Musgrave of AUT there. After the break, BSA contenders Josh Thompson and Brendan Lovegrove with Night at the Classic.